This morning we open God's Word in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, from which we'll read the verses 31 through 37. Luke 4, 31 to 37. Hear the Word of God. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him, and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed, and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word that is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding regions. So far the scripture reading. The text, which we'll use as the window to look at this passage, is verse 35. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus performed many miracles during his ministry on this earth. He healed many people from a variety of sicknesses. The deaf heard, the lame walked, the blind saw. But there's something very special about the fact that the Lord Jesus also healed demon-possessed people. That's this morning's text. There was this demon-possessed man in the synagogue at Capernaum, and the Lord Jesus healed him from demon possession. The text is about Christ setting a person free from the captivity of demon possession, because that's really what it was about, the captivity of demon possession. This man was set free from spiritual oppression. And then we need to understand something of how Luke begins his gospel. He begins his gospel by telling about how the Lord Jesus was in the synagogue at Nazareth and then very deliberately reached for the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he turned to chapter 61, from which he read those well-known words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then the Lord Jesus had handed back the scroll, and they were all looking at him very intently to see what he would say or do next. And he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The Lord Jesus had been going around healing people. He had been preaching the gospel of liberation from sin and misery. They had heard about it. And the Lord Jesus was saying that he is the fulfillment of what Isaiah had prophesied about long ago. Isaiah had prophesied about the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee. We know it from the Old Testament. There was that Sabbath system in the Old Testament. The seventh day was a Sabbath day, a day of rest. But there was also the seventh year, and that also meant rest in certain respects. And on top of all of that, at the pinnacle of all of that, was the so-called year of Jubilee, the 50th year, 7 times 7, that perfect number that special year, the pinnacle of it all, and that was the year when all the debts were canceled, when people received their land back if they had had to sell it, the slaves went free again. It was a year of joy. It was a year of newfound freedom. It was a year of rest. That's how Luke begins his gospel. And by beginning his gospel in that way, Luke is setting the tone for his entire gospel. This is what the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus was all about. It was about setting people free. It was about giving people joy. It was about providing people with rest. As our Savior said in his ministry on this earth, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This miracle that the Lord Jesus performed in Capernaum occurred on the Sabbath. Luke says that very deliberately. In fact, Luke records more healings that the Lord Jesus performed on the Sabbath. That was very special, because what was the Sabbath all about? The Sabbath was about rest. Yes, but not just rest from work. Rest from work that pointed to a greater rest. It was about that eternal rest that God was preparing for his people. It was about that rest from Satan, sin, death, and all the brokenness of life in this fallen world. That's what the whole gospel is about. It's about rest from Satan, sin, and death, and all the brokenness of life on this earth. Well, that's why it's so significant that the Lord Jesus healed this demon-possessed man on the Sabbath. And then we need to keep in mind that the Lord Jesus did that as part of his ministry, in which he proclaimed himself as the one who was anointed to give that freedom of which the year of Jubilee spoke. And so there was this demon-possessed man, suddenly free of demon possession, set free from spiritual oppression, set free from captivity of demon possession. That's exactly what Isaiah had prophesied about. He had prophesied about the anointed of the Lord, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor and setting the captives free. Our Savior had been in the synagogue at Capernaum teaching, so we read in this passage, teaching about himself. Teaching about himself as the fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies. You know that we confess in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12, about our Savior, who is the Christ. Lord's Day 12 deals with that title, Christ. Why is he called Christ? One of the reasons Jesus is called Christ is because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit at the Jordan River at the occasion of his baptism, so that he might be our chief prophet and teacher, who fully reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. That's what we see the Lord Jesus doing in the synagogue at Capernaum. He taught about himself. We read that the people were astonished. They were impressed because, as we read elsewhere in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus taught as one who had authority. He didn't teach like their scribes and Pharisees. He taught in a very special way, and the people could sense it too. They sensed that he was different than what they experienced otherwise in the synagogue. He taught with authority because he was very special, and they knew it. At that moment, there was this jarring voice in the synagogue at Capernaum. This demon-possessed man spoke up. He called out very loudly, as we read in this passage, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Just when Jesus had made such a positive impression upon the people, as they were, so to speak, growing toward him because they heard the word of salvation from his mouth and were perhaps beginning to recognize that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. At that moment, this demon-possessed man spoke up loudly in an effort to disrupt what Jesus was doing. The devil is always trying to disrupt what God is doing. He was there right in the beginning at the time of creation when God had made this world so beautiful. He arrived on the scene with his questions that he posed to Eve, and he brought ruin. This demon-possessed man was held captive by the devil. The devil spoke through him by way of one of his demons. And he acted disruptively, trying to ruin God's work of recreation. God had sent his Son into the world to make all things new, to restore paradise. The devil was right there immediately to ruin it. That's because the devil knows the power of the word. Think about this. The devil is here this morning. The devil never misses a church service. Perhaps we sometimes think, not so bad to skip. The devil never skips a church service. The devil is always here because he knows that where the word is preached, there the kingdom of Jesus Christ advances. And he wants to destroy that kingdom because he wants to be the ruler of this world. He wants to continue doing what he is doing. So he is in church when we're in church. And where the word is preached, he's there whispering in our ears. Do you really believe that? You really think that's possible? You really think God could do that? Why don't you just live life on your own terms? Go your own way. All this stuff in the Bible is just fairy tales. And it holds you down. It holds you captive. Why did he say this? Why did the devil say what he did through that demon who spoke through that man? Well, on the one hand, we hear the man saying, "Did you come to destroy us?" He was thinking perhaps that he and the other demons would be thrown into eternal destruction at this point in time. He also made a confession of sorts. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The devil had witnessed what had happened when Christ received his anointing at the Jordan River. You can read about it in Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, verse 22, we read that a voice came from heaven. The Father spoke from heaven, saying, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." We also know from James chapter 2, verse 19, even the demons believe and shudder. Well, the Lord Jesus spoke, and that's our text. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Now was not the time for the Lord Jesus to throw the demons into eternal destruction. That time would come later. That happens at the end of this world's history. But the Lord Jesus silenced him. He didn't want him to say what he was saying. Not that the Lord Jesus did not want the people to know that he was the Holy One of God. That's what the Lord Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. He was opening the scriptures for them, trying to show them that he is the fulfillment of all those Old Testament passages that spoke about the coming Messiah. It wasn't that he was trying to keep a lid on that knowledge. The point is, the Lord Jesus did not want that information to come from the demons. He did not want his gospel to be associated with the demons. Then people might come to the conclusion that Christ and the demons are the same. And you know that at a certain point in Christ's ministry, that's exactly what the leaders of the people tried to say. Lord Jesus healed a man, and they said he cast out a demon, also on that occasion. And the leaders of the people said, he casts out the demons by the power of Beelzebul. The Lord Jesus did not want this statement about who he is, that he is the Holy One of God, the Messiah, the Son of God come in the flesh. The Lord Jesus didn't want that statement to come from the demons. That would be a wrong association. So the Lord Jesus rebuked him and said, come out of him. And Christ being the Son of God and having power over all things, the demon came out. And we read, when the demon had thrown him in their midst, that means the demon came out violently. He threw that man out on the ground. It came out of him and did not hurt him. So this demon, on the way out, tried one last time to ruin things. He wanted to injure this man. Imagine, congregation, if that demon came out so violently that my man, let's say, was standing here and was bounced around a bit on the ground and broke his neck and died. That wouldn't look very good on the Lord Jesus, would it? That's what the demon hoped to accomplish. On the way out, to still ruin things. Isn't that what the devil is trying to do also in the history of this world? He knows that his time is short. He knows that his doom is sure. But on the way out, he goes around like a roaring lion trying to take people with him. And also here, on the way out of that man, the demon tried to ruin things. But we read, he did not hurt him. The Lord Jesus did not allow that demon to hurt the man, because when the Lord Jesus has a purpose, the Lord Jesus prevails in his purpose. He sets free people who are held captive by the brokenness of life in this fallen world. He sets free people who are under the dominion of Satan. And there was this man now, set free. This is the gospel. This man was set free from demon possession, set free from spiritual oppression. This is the message of our text, that the Lord Jesus came to set the captives free. And this man was held captive by demon possession. We can broaden it. The Lord Jesus came to set free people held captive by the brokenness of sin in this fallen world, held captive by the brokenness of sin. And we experience that in so many ways: sickness, accidents, problems. The Lord Jesus came to set us free from all of that. It is the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee that started when the Lord Jesus came into this world and began his public ministry. And you can even say it didn't end when the Lord Jesus left this life, because he continues to set free people from the captivity of sin and the brokenness of life. That's the good news of the gospel. Now you might say this morning, what do we have to do with that demon-possessed man? Let's have some very specific application. Well, don't think that we are so different from this demon-possessed man. We may not be the kind of people who have a demon in us that makes us call out strange things and do strange things. But think it through for a moment. By nature, we are all under the control of the devil. When we fell in the beginning, we left God's side and we went to the devil's side. That meant that we came under the devil's dominion. Paul writes in his New Testament letters that we are born dead in sin. We are under the dominion of the devil. We do his will by nature. And Paul even writes that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. We were enemies of God because we were under the control of the devil. So in that sense, we were held captive by the devil, just like this demon-possessed man was held captive by the devil by way of demon possession. And now through the working of the Holy Spirit, we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and we are saved by grace through faith. That means by grace through faith, we are set free from the dominion of sin, Satan, and death. The doors have gone open for us. The prison doors have gone wide open for us. As Christians, we may live and walk in freedom. The dominion of Satan has been broken in the life of a Christian, although the power of Satan may still be strong. We butt up against the devil in many ways in our lives as he tries to make us do his will. But for someone who knows Jesus Christ, who has been raised to life as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we are on a new course. And we are walking with God. We are not walking with the devil. Well, what was your action? What was the reaction of the people in the synagogue? Well, we read it in verse 36. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word that is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." They were amazed. But amazement is not yet faith. And that's the thing. We don't read about any expressions of faith at the conclusion of this passage. This demon-possessed man was calling out, "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." The Lord Jesus didn't want to hear it from him. He wanted to hear it from the people in the synagogue of Capernaum. He wanted them to say, "We know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God come in the flesh. You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah. In you we have freedom. In you we have life." But they didn't say it. They were just amazed. That's all. And then if we look just beyond the passage that we read, then we read in verse 40, "And when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." So they brought their sick. They wanted the healings. But they didn't understand what those healings meant. And that's very clear from the fact that it says they came when the sun was setting. Maybe you think that's just an interesting detail, or maybe you even wonder why the Bible tells us that. Well, there's a very good reason why that's included. Because for the Jews, the Sabbath begins at sunrise and ends at the setting of the sun. And you can read in the Gospels how the scribes and Pharisees went after Christ because he did all those healings on the Sabbath. They couldn't accept that. They thought that was wrong. That was work. He shouldn't be doing that. But they didn't understand that the Lord Jesus was doing the work of the Father and that this was exactly what the Sabbath was all about. The Lord Jesus was bringing rest. He was bringing joy. He was doing the work on the Sabbath for which he had come, and that is to set people free from sin. These people evidently didn't understand that because they waited until the sun had set And then they went to Jesus. They were still living by what the scribes and Pharisees were saying about the Lord Jesus, and they did not understand the true significance of the Sabbath, nor did they understand the significance of the healings that they were so happy to receive. They did not understand the teaching of Christ in their synagogue. But by God's grace, we understand it. We understand the enduring testimony of this passage, and that is that the Lord Jesus has come into the world to set free people held captive by sin, Satan, death, and all the brokenness of life in this fallen world. By God's grace, we understand that, and that's the enduring testimony of this passage. Now I say, by God's grace, we understand that. But I think I should also ask in this covenant congregation, do you understand that? Do you understand that? Do you understand that Jesus Christ came to be Savior from all the brokenness of life because he came to save us from our sins? Do you understand that? And do you embrace that in Jesus Christ? I say that very specifically to you as covenant congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as baptized people, because the Lord Jesus was dealing with the covenant people of God in Capernaum. They had been circumcised. They were children of Abraham. They had received the promises. They had heard the teaching for years, but they did not recognize Jesus for who he was. Do we recognize Jesus Christ for who he is? And do we embrace that gospel of Jesus Christ in true faith? Do we live out of it? Do we find our joy in it? Do we understand that when life hits us hard and we experience the brokenness of life and the sorrows of life, when a loved one dies, or when we have accidents and health crises and financial problems, do we understand that those things don't have the last word in the life of a Christian? Do we understand that we have hope, a hope that transcends this earthly mortal life, a hope that sets us free because Jesus Christ came to set us free? We have been born again to a living hope, says Peter, and that gives us tremendous comfort in all circumstances of life. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what he was proclaiming in the synagogue. That's what the healing of the demon-possessed man pointed to. And that's what we need to understand. And that's what we need to draw comfort from. Today, we await the second coming of Jesus Christ. We await his coming in glory. Then he will come again and bring his kingdom in all its glory and set us free completely from sin, Satan, death, and all the brokenness of life. We're going to sing in a moment that beautiful hymn from Martin Luther. I only assigned one stanza because the stanza I assigned has the punch I want to get across. One little word shall fell him. Just as the Lord Jesus spoke a word in the synagogue of Capernaum, and that demon left the demon-possessed man, so the Lord Jesus will one day, when he returns, speak a word, and the devil and all his demons will be thrown into eternal destruction. And then God's people, set free from all the power of the devil and all the brokenness of life, will enjoy that perfect freedom that the Lord Jesus came to bring. And we will enter eternal glory when the Lord Jesus comes back, not only in soul, like when we die and go to our Savior, but then also in body. We will be with our Savior in soul and body, rejoicing in the rest, the eternal rest from sin and all the brokenness of life. That eternal rest in his presence. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have this good news. Good news in a broken world. We have been set free through Jesus Christ, who set us free by his death and resurrection. He came to bring that year of Jubilee, that fulfillment of the Old Testament year of Jubilee. He came proclaiming liberty. He came setting free the captives, those held captive by the brokenness of life and the spiritual oppression by the devil. We thank you for that, and we pray that we may live out of it. Grant that we may recognize Jesus Christ for who he is, and grant that we may know that he is the only one who gives us lasting joy and rest. For when we know Jesus Christ in faith, then our souls can truly be at rest. Grant that everyone here may know that and live out of that, and we pray that that only name of Jesus Christ may go to the ends of the earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.